This is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes of the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Oh, it's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. Coming up right after 1:30, Dave Wyman is going to drop by for his weekly visit. Gosh, I enjoy when Dave Wyman drops by. So we'll do that a little bit later this hour. I wanted to share with you an email I got from listener Thomas. Because you heard that, you know, Bellevue schools, they have this tentative agreement to get the second graders back, and then they'll do the first for 2 days a week. And then they'll be remote the other days. But Thomas writes, I just want to write an open letter to the governor, and I'm hoping that you can get it out. He is stealing our kids' childhoods. My boy and girl are 6 and 3, and they are missing out on so many things, and there is no evidence that says anything that they are doing has protected kids. They are at zero risk, but because of political reasons, they are taking their childhood. My son asked me if this virus would ever go away because he just wants to be able to go to a class at the gym. My girl was 2 when the lockdown started. Too young to do ballet at the gym. You have to be 3 to take the class, which she turned 3 during this 9-plus-month lockdown, and she asks every week when she will be able to go to ballet. They both used to love to go to the library, but now they've stopped asking to go. I think that this virus is real, don't get me wrong, but the reaction and the implications that this is going to have in the long run are going to be so damaging, I'm not sure some will ever recover. And I believe that kids are somewhat resilient, but and Thomas, I would say, especially for your kids at ages 3 and 6, that this will become a distant memory in a couple of years for them. I am very worried about the PTSD and the unrecoverable time that our middle and high school kids are experiencing right now. It's horrible what we're doing to, you know, really 2 school years now of kids. And who knows if or when they're ever going to go back, because the teachers' union has just locked in on we want to get full pay for minimal work, which is what remote learning is, compared to in-person learning. And some teachers are fighting against their unions. And did we ever follow up with the Bellevue Teachers Union Prez, Nicole, who kind of stood us up on Friday? And I know you reached out. Now that they have a tentative agreement, are they going to honor their commitment to come on the show?
Again, she's not responding to, like I mentioned on Friday, she sent me to, after agreeing to do the interview and then getting cut off with you, then she ended up making me go through a communications person. That woman has responded to me, but she has not gotten a response from the president on whether she would ever do our show again.
She hasn't done it once.
Okay. But she said originally, so she hasn't said yes again.
That's very, very strange. But, you know, I guess the honor thing doesn't matter much with the head of the Bellevue Teachers Union. Hey, by the way, would you bump up the Pasco Teachers Union audio that we've played? Nicole? Nicole? Did we lose Nicole? Sean? What happened to her?
Yeah, I don't know what happened to her. She may have just dropped off. Okay. Or had enough with you. I don't know.
I hope she's okay. But the reason, you may recall, a couple of weeks ago, the head of the Pasco Teachers Union said that any parent that wants their kid back in class is a white supremacist, even though they have predominantly people of color in the Pasco School District. And I did find it interesting that the president of the Bellevue Teachers Union, Allison Snow, I have a written quote from her from last night. And she's playing the same card. And I honest to goodness do not know what this means. But she said, and I quote, "As we learn more about COVID-19, we also learn of new strains, new side effects, new impacts. In addition, we are confronting the deep seeds of racism throughout our systems and nation, and have been forced to recognize the very inequitable impacts it has on the Black, Indigenous, and people of color in our community." So the Bellevue Teachers president is playing some racism card, and in that these negotiations about the deep seeds of racism. Who suffers more from in-home learning than people of color? Because demographically, minority communities in general have lower household incomes. And when I say minority communities, Asians have higher than average, Black and Hispanic are lower than average. And when you're lower than average, you have a tough time with getting technology at the same rate as families of means. And so it seems to me the teachers' union, by refusing to go back to work, is perpetuating the racism that they are now talking about. But again, here's, even though Nicole's audio dropped out, here's the head of the Pasco teachers' union, a guy named Scott Wilson, who a couple of weeks ago said the same thing. You want your kids back in school? You're a racist.
Thank you. Scott Wilson is president of the Pasco Association of Educators. There are decisions to be made. You stand on the lawn of the U.S. Capitol as people break down barriers and head to the doors. Do you follow? You stand at the governor's mansion. The crowd breaks down barriers to enter the grounds. Do you follow, or do you choose a different way?
I bet when he was writing this statement before that meeting, I bet he thought, ho, I'm going to go viral with this. I'm quite the orator.
We must not ignore the culture of white supremacy and white privilege. We have seen it in the Free to Breathe, Reopen Everything, rodeos and rallies that received county commissioner support. The same commissioner directs our health district. No one wants remote learning. No one wants remote learning, but it is the right thing to do. We know the equity concerns. Virus to stop the spread, remote learning is the right decision. To stop the spread, remote learning is the right decision. You've moved forward as the health district removes the barrier.
Yeah, that's enough of the guy. So anyway, you're a white supremacist if you want your kids back in school somehow. I still don't quite get how this works. And by the way, teachers' unions across the country, especially in blue states, they are fighting to go back to school. And let me give you a perfect example. In Fairfax County, Virginia, the school system demanded that teachers and administrators get bumped up to the top of the list for the coronavirus vaccine. And they got it. They started a week ago. 5,000 teachers have received their first dose. 22,000 more teachers are registered to get their first dose very soon. And yet, even though the teachers moved to the front of the vaccine line, the head of the teachers' union says, yeah, we're still probably not going to go back to school. In fact, they said that they will likely not go back to school even this fall. The teachers' union president there, Kimberly Adams, she said that her union would not support a return to full-time education even in the fall of 2021. She already has been vaccinated herself, by the way. And why not? Because the union is saying, well, we're not going to go back until all the children have been vaccinated. Now, none of the vaccines have been approved for children. Also, every study shows that children do not spread the coronavirus to adults. So in this particular county, the teachers' union is just once again making stuff up as they try to get maximum pay for absolute bare minimal work. And with children struggling, they've been locked out of school for a year now. It's just absolutely criminal. And then you have the president who will not take a stand. I mean, it is, you know, I've heard people say, oh, Joe Biden, he is so refreshing after 4 years of Donald Trump. I liked having a president who said, yeah, the teachers should be back in school and schools should be back open. But when Joe Biden was asked at his press conference if teachers should return to school, listen to this non-answer. The other thing that struck me is he was about 10 minutes into a statement and then fielded a few questions from the press. Man, he sounds out of breath, just standing at a podium. But here was Joe Biden refusing to give a clear answer about if teachers should be back in school.
Do you believe, sir, that teachers should return to schools now?
I believe we should make school classrooms safe and secure for the students, for the teachers, and for the help that's in those schools.
Okay, first, he's gasping for air. But he says, I believe we should make classrooms safe for the teachers, for the students. Who doesn't believe that? So he just said nothing. Of course, everyone believes we should make classrooms safe. So he spends, you know, but I'll go back to the beginning here. But just between the fact that he's just saying nonsense words, that of course classrooms should be safe. The question was, should teachers be back? But he is gasping for it.
Do you believe, sir, that teachers should return to schools now?
I believe we should make school classrooms safe and secure for the students, for the teachers, and for the help that's in those schools maintaining the facilities. We need new ventilation systems in those schools. We need testing for people coming in and out of the classes. We need testing for teachers as well as students. And we need the capacity to know that, in fact, the circumstance in the school is safe and secure for everyone.
Wow. Yeah, we all want schools to be safe, Mr. President. Okay, next up in the fastest 15... How about this guy up in Vancouver, B.C.? They have a casino mogul up there. He's in his 50s. His name is Rodney Baker. And he is married to a 32-year-old Russian model actress wife named Ekaterina Baker. They decided we should get, you know, we're rich. We should get the COVID vaccine. And they can't qualify. They're too young. They're healthy, 55 and 32 years old. So what did Rodney Baker and Ekaterina Baker do? They allegedly chartered a private plane to Beaver Creek, a remote community up in the Yukon, because in Beaver Creek, they were arranging to get shots for the essential workers up there. And because most of the residents of Beaver Creek are members of a indigenous White River First Nation. And so this wealthy couple, they lied to workers at the clinic about where they lived and worked. They got their shots. They said they worked at a motel in Beaver Creek. But then right after they got their shots, they asked somebody to give them a ride to the airport. And they said, well, wait, if they live here and they work at the motel, why do they need a ride to the airport? Well, because they had to fly their private plane back to Vancouver, BC, so that they could get back to their lush, wealthy life that they live up there. This guy made $10.6 million last year as CEO of the Great Canadian Gaming Corporation. He has now resigned that $10 million a year job because he just swindled a remote Yukon community to get the virus vaccine. All right, and finally in the Fastest 15, are you back with your audio, Nicole? Do we have you back on?
I think so. Am I here?
Oh, there we go. All right.
Okay. Oh, good.
I do not know who Keira Knightley is. I've heard the name. I couldn't name one movie that she's ever done. Can you? You're a little more of a movie buff than me.
Yeah, she's done, oh gosh. I mean, I know who she is. What has she done?
Sean. Sounds like Sean has an answer for us.
Yeah, I believe she was in a movie from a few, well, Pirates of the Caribbean. Yeah, yep, from a few years ago, though, called The Lobster. I believe she was in that one. That's a really good one.
She was also, also in Love Actually. That's where I probably have seen her the most.
Okay. I've seen none of those. But Keira Knightley is now a very powerful and respected actress because she has made quite a statement. Keira Knightley has just announced that she will not act in any more sex scenes if the movie is directed by a man. She says that she will only do sex scenes if the movie has a female director. And I'm thinking, in this world where we have so many problems, that to me is one of the most significant problems in the world. And the fact that Keira Knightley has taken a stand against the patriarchy of male-dominated directed sex scenes in movies just proves what a fine and noble human being she is. And I just wanted to say salute to Keira Knightley. And that is your Fastest 15 for today.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
Give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. Dave Wyman will join us coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show.
Rick Astley.
Oh!
Nice job, Dave.
Did you tip him off, Sean?
Why would I do that?
I had this album. I had this CD.
I have never heard you that fast, Dave, on anything.
I want to say when Chris was in last week, there was something where I guessed Chris Astley, Rick Astley.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, wow.
That's right, you did. So well, Dave takes a 1-0 lead. You've been dominating Name That Artist. Have you seen the reboot of Name That Tune on TV?
I think I heard a commercial for it, but no, I've not watched.
Holy moly, I tried watching it. What? That is one of the worst shows I've ever seen in my entire life.
Really? Do people dress up in costumes, or is that a different one?
That would be a different one.
Okay.
Yeah.
I saw there's masked dancer, there's masked singer, and then there's a new, I thought people were in like chicken suits for this Name That Tune, but am I wrong? No.
You're wrong about that. You know who the masked dancer was a week ago?
Who?
1 or 2 weeks ago?
Marshawn.
Seattle's own Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Oh.
He was the featured guy. Yeah. So bless his heart. So Dave Wyman's with us. You can hear him afternoons on our sister station, 710 ESPN Seattle. I have a lot of stuff to talk with you about, but can we talk about this last weekend?
Yeah.
First and foremost, because I've tried to get a hold of you. I can't get a hold of you anymore.
Yeah.
What's the matter with you?
Busy weekend.
Well, I know, but I tried on Sunday. I thought, things didn't settle down on Sunday?
Not like I liked them to. What are you getting at? Hey, I have to thank both of you guys on the air. And I was going to send text, but I want everybody to know how awesome Dory and Nicole are. Sean didn't get me anything. But Nicole got me Step Brothers shot glasses. And I also have Step Brothers socks from Nicole from before. And then, Dory, you gave one of it was a crowd pleaser, the gift that you gave to my son for his wedding. So he got married on Saturday. Dory comes, just so everybody knows the kind of guy Dory is, comes all the way down here to the station. I meet him out front because he doesn't want to come inside. He hands me a present. He hands me a present for Jake. And it's one of these small things that happen where you can't have a big gathering. Otherwise, you'd be invited, probably. No, yeah. I'm kidding. And so, yeah. And so we opened it in a, you know, in our home after the wedding and everything. And it's a doormat that says the Wymans. And yeah. Jake, you should have seen, like, that was one of the most clever, awesome gifts. It's right up there with the shot glasses, in other words. Okay. So, okay.
No.
Anyway.
That's very, very nice and sweet of you to say.
It's very cool of you to do that, you and Suzanne.
Dave, that was 100% my wife.
Okay.
It was.
Well, darn it. You see, I was trying to give you credit.
It's very sweet of you to say. But it was my wife's idea. She's the one who ordered it in plenty of time, so it'd be here by the wedding. She's the one who said, let's drive to their house. And I said, well, the radio station's closer. Let's just do that. So I'm like pushing to minimize everything.
You're ruining it, Dory. You're ruining
my
it.
My wife.
Well, you
drove.
Married her. So there.
Yeah, that's the extent. And we're going to get something off the registry, too. Anyway, but so I literally have not talked to you since this. And I have some mixed feelings about this because as we texted you Saturday morning, we were thinking and praying about you and your family because it is one of the most joyous days imaginable for a parent. But I also know you and especially your wife would have loved to have had a huge non-pandemic wedding. So tell me how it went.
Yeah, well, it was just very small deal and, you know, very spread out. But it was very meaningful as well. You know, I would say a lot of times, you know, you get caught up in, I remember for our wedding, I want to say we had like 250, 300. So that's not huge, but still. And then there were people that didn't get invited that, you know, that was stressful. Shannon was kind of trying to plan everything. She wasn't getting help from certain people. And then, you know, it just was, this was much more intimate. And my son was standing about 10, 12 feet away from me when I watched him officially become a man and, you know, give himself to another person as well as God. And the whole thing was just very, and they wrote vows and, you know, and then exchanged the rings, everything. The pastor did a really good job, and it was just a great, you know, my parents were there, hardly anybody there, but still the meaningful people in their lives were there. And it was awesome. It was one of my favorite things that have happened in my life watching that.
Well, and, you know, that's how, you know, I've always described my one daughter who so far has gotten married. That was, I think, the best day of my life because, I mean, I was just marginally aware of my wedding to Susanna. I mean, I don't know. I can barely remember it. I don't remember many details at all. And it just, there were a bunch of people there, like my mom's friends that I didn't know. And then you go to my daughter's wedding, and it was about pure joy. It was, you know, great man that she's married. And then we have, you know, you were there. Then we had this party with people eating and dancing and having some beverages. And it was my image of what heaven is. Hmm. I really mean that if that's heaven, if every day is like our daughter's wedding day, I'd be happy for eternity going through life like that.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Surrounded by loved ones. And yeah, it was just, it's a great day. And I think sometimes it gets associated with stress. Whole thing couldn't happen without my wife, Shannon. She did almost everything. I mean, she volunteers for these things, but hosted flowers, you know, all kinds of stuff. So yeah, she made it happen. I just sat there and looked dumb. And then I gave a little bit of a speech at the end, but it was really cool. Really nice, joyous, like I said, joyous event. We don't have many of those days these days, do we?
No, exactly. Okay, I think I know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask anyway. Did you get emotional?
Yeah, I did. I didn't cry before my wife, but also, Dory, I don't like to go around bragging about me crying like you do. That's the difference between me and you.
Well, but by
I'm not going to tell you every time that I cry.
Did you get tears in your eyes?
Yeah, and like Chuck Norris, they came out and they were diamonds. Isn't that what they say? When Chuck Norris cries, it's so rare they're diamonds or something like that.
Oh, man. Okay, we got a lot of other stuff I want to talk with you about. Let me take a quick time. Congratulations.
Thank you.
There are few joys in life greater and more important than our kids finding somebody that they love and is worthy of their trust and respect. Okay, what do we got here? Turn this up.
Is this Beyonce? Cry me a river.
Cry me a river. Destiny's Child.
No. Come on.
Let's try to steal Dave's Beyonce. Yes, I don't know.
Cry me a river.
One of this dude's good friends used to be on SNL.
It's a dude?
They became... Oh, well, there's a hint for you. Yeah, this is a guy.
Oh, it's a guy singer.
Yeah. I don't know.
I surrender.
You have to add me to
Justin Timberlake.
Oh. He's pretty popular, I hear.
Yeah.
So I've heard.
And the song is topical.
10 minutes, 1-0 lead. We'll talk about Tom Brady and other stuff as the Dory Monson Show rolls. Call me on the phone. Call me on the phone.
That girl is... Belle Biv DeVoe.
Oh, yeah. Dave, you are on fire. What has gotten into you?
I don't know.
I don't either, but I don't like it one bit. No siree, not one bit.
Siree.
Dave Wyman is...
I haven't heard that in a long time.
Dave Wyman is with us. So a listener texted me a question yesterday, and I said, you know what? I'm going to wait until Dave is here to kick this around. Is Tom Brady the greatest team sport athlete in history?
Yes, he is.
Wow. You didn't hesitate.
No, I mean, he's amazing. Remember the last time they did this when he was with the Patriots, or the Giants actually did it. It was very unlikely. They went on the road. That was the year that the Patriots were 16-0. And then the Giants went on the road and, you know, beat all of those teams and then ended up in the Super Bowl and beat the undefeated Patriots. That's kind of what Brady, the quest he's on right now. They had to go to Washington. They had to go to New Orleans. They had to go to Green Bay. You know, now they're facing the, you know, wizard that is Patrick Mahomes. I mean, it's just, it's amazing that he wants to play more. Did you see at the end, by the way, into the NFC Championship game, they show him, he comes walking over to the side of the field, and there's a security guard up there, and he says with a smile on his face, excuse me, hey, do you mind if I visit with my son? And so then she lets the boy through, and he comes down and he hugs him. But just the way he handled that whole thing is just, that's what makes him great. And I hear really good things about him from, you know, the people like Moyer that have had a chance to meet him.
Yeah, I also have heard so much hate directed at him, which I have never, ever understood, that because, you know, like I said, everything about him is admirable. So the greatest team sport athletes. I think that every sport has a clear-cut number one. I'll see if you agree with these. Baseball, who's the all-time greatest?
You know, I'm not that much up on baseball. You know, I know Hank Aaron just died. Yeah, I don't. I'm not sure. Do you have?
But well, it's Babe Ruth. Babe Ruth, one season, Dave, hit more home runs than the entire rest of the American League combined.
Yeah.
It's that sort of dominance. Now, it was it was when there were still Negro leagues and there wasn't integration. But when you are better than the rest of the sport combined, that's a level of dominance that's unimaginable.
Yeah.
So I would say him, and then basketball.
Jordan.
it's Jordan.
Yeah.
And then I think Wayne Gretzky in hockey. But I think Brady is he's pretty darn close to those guys now.
Yeah, it's and he didn't have a great game. I mean, he had three interceptions, and he's got a great defense to go along with him. But, yeah, remember Peyton Manning won a Super Bowl that way, where it wasn't really about the offense. It was 2 years after the Seahawks beat him, and it was about the defense that they had put together. But, yeah, and Tom Brady, he made some amazing throws. I mean, they were 3 for 3 on third downs that first drive, including a touchdown, and those were beautiful throws that he made. So I love everything about him, and he's kind of the opposite of Aaron Rodgers. You know, Rodgers is kind of a moper, and you know, sort of. I never see Tom scream and yell at anybody except for that one time he screamed at his offensive coordinator, Josh McDaniels. Right. But yeah, I mean, he just seems like a great teammate, and I'm rooting for the Buccaneers.
It also makes me think maybe there is something to this. When you're young and your body is still near its best, that's a good time to eat healthy and to do good. And I'll tell you, I saw Nolan Ryan in the locker room after a Texas Rangers game in the Kingdome, and he would ride the stationary bike after he pitched, while the rest of the, you know, the 23, 24-year-old punks on the team, they're sitting there at the buffet table. They've got big plates of food.
Yeah.
And Nolan Ryan would get on a stationary bike. And I'm looking around, and he was probably about the same age as Tom Brady, about 43 at the time. And I'm thinking, how do these other guys not look at Nolan Ryan and say, hey, get us 25 stationary bikes. We're going to do exactly what that old guy does so that he could play 25 great years. And yeah, there are a lot of life lessons to be learned from these guys.
Yeah, I wish I would have been more conscientious of my diet and things that I drank when I was a player, you know. I mean, it was just I worked hard, man. I worked really hard. But, you know, I didn't always take care with nutrition, things like that. I remember thinking that it was okay to eat a big bowl of cereal at night, mm-hmm. as long as I wasn't having ice cream. That was not good. I would get like a salad bowl, and it was like Lucky Charms or something. Oh, at least it's not ice cream.
Oh, Flock of Seagulls. Flock of Seagulls.
Dave took it today, Dory.
Well, in my ear, I barely beat him on that one. But yes, he took it regardless. You know what I like doing with those Lucky Charms, Dave?
You eat all the oats out first.
I like flicking my tongue like a chameleon or
snake
or one of I like flicking my tongue out and grabbing all the oats and then just ending up with the charms. Yes, you even called that right today. You're on fire.
Yeah, but I don't flick my tongue like a lizard. I just take the spoon and pull them out that way, and that way you have all delicious marshmallows left.
Tell you what, next time we get together, I'll pour a couple bowls of Lucky Charms, and I'll show you how I flick them with my tongue.
This is why I don't respond to you in times.
You hear Dave every afternoon at 7:10.
And you wonder why I don't respond to you.
I heard you the first time. All right, we got lots more after we check the news here on the Dory Monson Show.